The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Today's daf is being studied l'alun nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenihenu b'gen Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied l'refuat shelema Sarah bat Rachel. En na refan ala b'toch shar chole amu Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Kuf Tet Zayin, Amud Bet, and we are three lines from the bottom, starting from the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Bet Shammai Omrim, Tenase V'Tetol Ketubata, which means, when a lady comes along and testifies, and says, Met Ba'ali, that my husband dies, and we learned that under certain situations, we allow her to remarry, which means we trust her testimony. So the Mishnah says she also is believed as well monetarily, meaning she will get paid the ketubah from the first husband's estate that she claims he died. So therefore the law is when a husband dies, he must pay a ketubah. So therefore we believe her as well for the ketubah that she can get paid. Betelel says, no, well, we allow her to get married based on that testimony, met ba'ali. However, we do not allow her to take the ketubah. So comes the Gemara and says, Mishnah says, Amar lehem bet Shammai. So bet Shammai tells Betelel, hitartem irva hamura. You are matir erva hamura, which means you trust her le'anyan to remarry, which is a very stringent thing. You're telling her that she's not considered an eshet ish. So for that, you're believing her. Ve'lo natir mamona kal. You're not going to believe her on the small item of the monetary. If you believe the legabet to get married, which is a stringent thing, certainly you should believe her le'anyan de mamon. Amru la'em betelel. So Betelel comes along and says back that even though she is believed legabedi erva, meaning to get married, so we'll say that's because we don't want her to remain an aguna. However, when it comes to mamon, there's no reason to believe her. And he says, matzinu, we found she'en ha'achin nichnasin lenachala alpiha, which means, let's say she doesn't have children, this lady. So the normal law of Yerusha is, if a person dies, let's say a husband dies, normally let's say his sons will inherit him. If he doesn't have sons, so his brothers become the inheritors. So Betelel says, "En achim nichnasim lenachala al piya," which means the inheritors do not now inherit his estate based on her testimony, which is even though she said that her husband died, therefore technically now, if he's dead, they become the inheritors, she's not believed, which means you need, like, a bit of money, two witnesses that come along and give a testimony, like a bit of mamon. If we believed her, that's all because we don't want her to remain in aguna. But like a bit of mamon, she doesn't have any emanut. So Betelel says, nafkamina, we're not going to believe her, like a bit, let's say the Yerusha, that the husband died, therefore his brothers, let's say, can inherit. So comes Gemara and says, Amru lahem bet Shammai. So bet Shammai comes along and says, V'halo misefer ketubah, which means from the language that's written in the ketubah, nilmod, we should learn, shehu kotevla. What does he write in the ketubah? What does every husband write in the ketubah? She'im tenasi le'acher, teteli ma shekatuv lechi. Which means, if you are going to be allowed to get married to somebody else, meaning in the case where, let's say, the husband dies or he gets divorced, so you'll receive what I'm writing in this document. Which means, bottom line, Once already you're believing her to get married, so the tenai of the ketubah is in the event that you'll be able to get married to somebody else, so therefore you're going to get the ketubah. So therefore she's getting it because of the condition of the ketubah, Beit Shammai argues. So the Gemara says, Hazru Betileh lehorot kedevrei Beit Shammai. At the end, Betileh retracted and he agrees to Betileh that not only is she believed to Gabet to get married, but she's also believed the Anyan di Mamon, meaning for the Ketubah. Amar Rav Chisda says, Nityabema, let's say I have a case where a lady gave a testimony, she said, Met Ba'ali. And as a result of it, she fell to Yibum. Yibaman nichnas lenachala alpiha. So then the law is that the Yavam, that's the brother-in-law that makes the Yibum, he now gets Nahala, which means he receives the Nahala. Because we have a Gezerat Katuv, that the Yavam is Yoresh, the Nechasim of the Met. So therefore he enters in his stead. Hem darshu midrash ketubah, which means if the rabbis would doresh that she'll get a ketubah payment, that's the din of our Mishnah. If the rabbis came along and said that what, that the ketubah goes to her, anu lo nedrosh midrash Torah, should we not be doresh the law of the Torah? Because what does the pasuk say by Yibum? It says Yakum al shem achiv Amar Rahmana, which means the estate should rise al shem achiv in the name of the brother, which means he becomes the inheritor. Amar Rahmana Borei, God says Varekam, which means once ready made Yibum, which means he established a Yibum, so therefore the Torah says the Nahala goes to him. So if the rabbis allowed a ketubah payment, because they said that the ketubah makes such a condition that if she gets remarried, she can get a ketubah, so certainly we're going to impose the Torah law that says a Yavam gets the Nahala, based even on her own testimony. Amar of Nachman, Nachman said, Bat lebet din. Okay, now we give some cases. Let's say she comes to Bet Din, the lady. Ve'amra met ba'ali, my husband died. Hatiruni le'nase, please allow me to remarry. Matirin ota le'nase. So there, of course, we believe her. And we let her get married, like we learned earlier. Ladies, daikau min seba. She's precise, and she's not going to say a testimony unless she is certain. Because she knows that if she's going to get remarried, so, and the husband resurfaces, she's going to be forbidden to go back to her husband. So therefore we believe her. So in this case over here it says, V'notnim la ketubata. You also give her the ketubah. Why? Because in this case over here she's really coming to testify, she wants to get married. Right? So therefore the ketubah follows suit. That since already we're allowed to get married, so the law is that the ketubah is that once she's allowed to get married, she gets paid the ketubah. However, let's say she says like this, Tenu li ketubati. She comes in, I want the ketubah payment. Then already, she's not believed. Not only is she not believed, legabe the ketubah, afli nase en matirinota. We don't even believe her to get married, which means she has no ne'emanut. My ta'ama, adarata de ketubah atai. Which means she's coming because she wants the money. Now, we don't have a sevarat to believe her, legabe the money alone. Why? Because the whole logic that we believe her testimony is because she's going to be precise. Why? Because when she remarries, she does not want to now have to leave the new marriage, right? She's going to be forbidden to the old marriage, so she's careful. However, legabe the mamon, you don't say that, because she can come along and say, I want my ketubah, and she doesn't have to get remarried even. So therefore, there's no reason why she won't lie. So therefore, if she's coming primarily for the ketubah, so already she is not believed. Which means if she comes along and says, my husband died, I want ketubah, then already there is no ne'emanut. Which means she only gets it if she comes along and says, my husband died, then as a result of husband's death, we give her the ketubah as well. But if she's only coming for the money, she doesn't have a specific ne'emanut, legabe the mamon. So comes the Gemara and says, Ibailu, here's the question. Hitiruni le'nase utnu li ketubati. She says both things. She says, allow me to remarry, because my husband died, and I also want my ketubah. Mahu. Kevan da amra ketubata. Since she mentioned the ketubah, adata the ketubah atai. Maybe she's primarily coming to the ketubah, therefore she has no ne'emanut. Or Dilma, or maybe call me the Italy Inish Amalehu Lebedina. Maybe the normal thing is that any claim that a person has, usually they say it to the Betin. So this lady has two claims. Number one, of course, she wants to get remarried, and number two, she also wants to get to Bas. So that's not an indication that she's specifically coming from Mammon. She's just saying all the claims in front of the Betin, therefore you can believe her. So Gemara says, "Into say Lomar Kol Mili Di Itle Inish Amar Lule Bedina." And if you want to come along and say that what that everything that a person has, all claims they do mention it to the Betin. What about this case? Tenuli Ketubati Vehetiruni Nasef. Let's say she splits the Ketubah first. She says, "Give me, my husband died. I want the Ketubah and allow me to get remarried." Now, Hacha Vadaya Data the Ketubah Atay. He will say for sure she's interested in the money because that's the first thing she said. Which means, since she really doesn't know what's going to matira to get remarried, she says everything. Which means she doesn't know whether it's her testimony that her husband died, is that enough to get allow her to remarry, or that she needs a ketubah in order to get remarried. So that's what she's saying, both claims, and she puts the ketubah first, just because she thinks that that's going to allow her to get remarried. And she does mention that she wants to get remarried. So therefore, given us in that case, Gemara says Tiku. Gemara leaves it in a question for Eliyahu Navi. Comes the next Mishnah. Hakol ne'emanim na'ida. Okay, now, everybody is believed to testify that met Ba'la, that her husband died. Chutz mehamota. Now the Mishnah is going to list us certain ladies that do not have an ne'emanut because we suspect that they're lying, because they hate this animosity between these ladies and the lady that they're testifying against, and therefore they want a spoiler. They want to say met ba'alech, they want her to go get married, and then the husband will resurface and she become forbidden to the husband. They want to osir her on the husband, therefore on purpose they're going to lie and give a false testimony. Who are these ladies that are pasul to testify? Number one, chutz mehamota. A mother-in-law is not believed to testify that her son died to allow her daughter-in-law to be married. Why? Because the logic is like this, that she thinks the mother-in-law like this, all the money that I have, the mother-in-law is thinking, is going to end up going to my son as Yerusha. She has no problem with that. But she's saying what? That who's going to end up spending all my money? My daughter-in-law. She's going to take all my hard-earned money and spend it. And therefore she has an animosity against the daughter-in-law because she thinks one day all her hard-earned money is going to be spent by the daughter-in-law. Ubat hamota. Bat Hamotah would be her mother-in-law's daughter. People call that like a sister-in-law, which means the sister-in-law hates her her sister-in-law. Why? Because she feels that all her parents' hard-earned money, the daughter-in-law is going to spend. Which means the parents are going to die, the money is going to go to the son, and the daughter-in-law is going to spend all this money. So therefore, a sister-in-law cannot testify that her husband died, that her brother's wife died. Vetzarata, okay, a co-wife, which means, let's say there's two wives in a marriage, so co-wives by nature are jealous of each other, and therefore, of course, a co-wife would not be allowed to testify that the husband died in order to matir her to get married. The yibimta, which means that would be the wife of his brother, the wife of the husband's brother, which means that's the lady that potentially the mitzvah of yibum would be fulfilled. Why does she hate the lady to testify? Because she's concerned that maybe, let's say, this man is going to die, and now eventually this girl's going to become her co-wife, because what, she's going to fall now to Yibum. And therefore, which means, let's say the man and the lady are married, and let's say now he dies, so now the brother has to fulfill Yibum. Now the brother has a wife. Now all of a sudden, this lady that fell becomes the co-wife of the brother's wife. And therefore she has a sin'ah towards towards them. Or for that matter, if her husband dies, then she's going to fall to the brother. Also, she's going to end up being her co-wife. So there is a sin'ah by that lady as well. Ubat ba'ala. Bat ba'ala means her husband's daughter. Which means the husband has a daughter from a different lady. So she also hates the mother in this case, or the stepmother in this case, because she's taking the place of her mother, and she's eating all the money that was really the mother's, and therefore she hates and has animosity. So comes the Gemara and Mishnah continues, Ma ben get limita, which means all these ladies that we said are not trusted to say met ba'alech. However, they are trusted, let's say if they are the carriers of a get. They brought a get, let's say, Medina Tayam, and they come along and bring the get in front of a betin and say that so-and-so was divorced to this lady with this get. They believed. Now, the Chaura, why Ligabe Mita they're not believed, but Ligabe get they are believed. So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, Shaketav Mochiyah. A big difference, because she's holding a get in her hands. Well, she's just seeing the mother-in-law comes along with a get into the betin. So we're not trusting them, their testimony. We're trusting what? The get, the papers in the hand. And therefore, now, even though, of course, they have to come along and testify, b'fanai nichtam and b'fanai nichtam, they have to say that we saw that the get was written, and we were there when they wrote up the get, and they witnessed a sign, but since there's an actual get, there's something tangible that they're holding, it's not just a testimony like met ba'alech, so therefore they're more believed because of the actual document. Comes now, the Gemara begins, ibaya lehu. Now we're going to discuss some other ladies and the question about their testimony. Bat Hamiha. Now let's talk about the daughter of her father-in-law. In the Mishnah we discussed the daughter of her mother-in-law. Now, what about the daughter of her father-in-law? Is she, which means she's the daughter of the father-in-law but not the mother-in-law. Is she believed? Does she have a sin'ah? Is she believed to testify? So Gemara says, Ta'amad debat hamota. What's the reason why the daughter of her mother-in-law cannot testify? Why does she hate her brother's wife? Mishum di'ika ima disanyana. Because since her mother hates her, so therefore he names sanyana. So that hatred carries over to her. So in this case, leka ima disanyana. There's no mother that hates. Her mother is not there anymore. So therefore, could be that what she'll be able to testify. Or Dilma Ta'ama de Bat Hamuta, the reason why Bat Hamuta is not believed, why she hates her brother's wife, de Amra, because she says in her heart that what? After my mother dies, what? All the money is going to go to her son, which is this girl, this lady's brother. And what? Ka'akla le girsena de ima. Right, so this, my sister-in-law is going to eat all my mother's money. So the same thing over here. This lady is also going to say, Bat Hamia is going to say, my sister-in-law is going to end up eating all my father's money. Right, so therefore, you have the same logic. Therefore, she hates her. And therefore, she doesn't want she wants a spoiler, because she doesn't want all her father's money to go to this sister-in-law. So Gemara says, what's the answer? Tashema hakol ne'emanin leha'ida. Everybody is believed to testify that met ba'alech to a certain lady, chutz mehamesh nashim, except the five ladies that are enumerated in our Mishnah. What are the five ladies? Hamota, bat hamota, tzadata, yibimta, ubat ba'ala. So the Gemara says, ve'im ita, if you're telling me that bat hamiha is also included, shitavyan, so it should say there's six ladies. The Gemara says, no. Dilma ta'amad de bat hamota. Maybe I'll tell you the whole reason why Bat Hamota is not believed. Because she says, my sister's going to end up eating all my father's money. So therefore, you don't have to list it. It's the same thing. The Mishnah lists Bat Hamota. So the same reason, Bat Hamota is because she doesn't want all the money of her mother to go to the daughter-in-law. So the same thing about Hamiyah. It's five cases. You don't have to list that case as well. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? But that, and yeah, we have another braita that says, chutz misheva nashim. We have a braita that says actually seven ladies, not five. So the Gemara says, ahi, Rabbi Yehudahi. That braita is the biyuda. The time, yeah, we have a braita. Rabbi Yehuda Mosif. Rabbi Yehuda was Mosif, two more ladies. Af Eshet Av. Eshet Av is the father's wife. She hates her husband's daughter. Which means the husband's wife, which means it's not his, it's not the mother of this, of his son. It's a second wife. So therefore, she hates her husband's son. Or hates the husband's daughter, let's say. Why? We'll see. That kana. And kana is the daughter-in-law. Which means a daughter-in-law cannot testify against the mother-in-law. So the Gemara says, Amru lo, so the Hakamim come along and say, what do you mean? You don't have to list those cases. Eshet av arei bechlal batabal. Which means the case of Eshet Av, which is the father's wife that she's pasul to testify, that's included in Bataba'al. Bataba'al is the husband's daughter, which means that's included. Because they we said that already, they hate each other. And Kala had Bikhlal Hamuta. Which means when we said kala, that's included when it said hamota, which is these ladies already are included because it's a reciprocal hatred. And therefore already we listed them in the Mishnah. Let's review again. You're coming and telling me, wa tabi uda, you're adding me eshet av. What does that mean? The father's wife. Okay? She is pasul to testify. So it says, that's included in what the Mishnah said, bat habal. Which means the husband's daughter is forbidden. So therefore it's a reciprocal hatred. It's the same thing. Eshet Av or Batabahan. And Kala, that's included in Hamota. Rabbi Yehuda, which means, why did you have to list these cases explicitly? So he says, Bishlama Hamota. I understand why you say a mother-in-law, Sanya la la kala. She hates the kala, the amra, because she says, Ka'akra la grisani. She's going to eat all my money. Ela kala, my tama, Sanya la hamota. But the other way, why should a kala not be allowed to testify against the mother-in-law? So Gemara says, that's what you have to listen, which means, what's the logic? Bishlama bata ba'al de Sanya la sheta'av. Which means, I understand why the daughter of the ba'al, of the husband, bata ba'al desanya le'eshet ha'av, right, which means the daughter of the ba'al hates eshet ha'av, she hates the father's wife, the amra ka'achla le'girsani de'em, right, because she's coming along and saying what, that she's going to eat, which means the eshet ha'av, the father's wife, is going to come along and say that this lady is eating all my mother's assets. Ela eshet av, my tama sanya lebatabal. But they're the reverse. Why does eshet av? Why does the husband's wife hate batabal, the daughter of her husband? Which means I want to review that side again. So the Gemara is saying, according to the Bihuda, it's not automatically reciprocal, which means we're going to see why it is, but it's not an automatic. He says like this, I understand why you want to tell me the hamota, the mother-in-law hates the daughter-in-law, that's why she cannot testify. Good. But I don't understand why does the kala hate the mother-in-law. And I also understand that what, bata ba'al, that the daughter of the husband, which means, let's say a man is married, right? So he has a daughter, so she's going to hate her father's wife. Why does she hate her father's wife? Again, because she wants to protect her mother's assets. She says, all my mother's money, right, is going to end up going to this girl, and she's going to eat all the money. However, Eshet Av, why should the wife of the father, which means this lady over here that's married, why should she hate Bataba? Why should she hate her husband's daughter? So the Gemara says, Ela mai mosif tarte. So why does he really include these two? Ela kala mai ta'ama sanya lahamota. You know why the kala hates the mother-in-law? Why she cannot testify? De megala libna kol da'avda. Because the mother-in-law reveals all what the daughter-in-law does to the husband. Which means she tells the husband all the secrets that that his wife does. Your wife does this and your wife does that. So the daughter-in-law resents the mother-in-law because all the private things the mother-in-law reveals to make her look bad in the husband's eyes. And the same thing, Eshet Av Nami Sanya Lebatabal. The Eshet Av, right, the father's wife, also she hates Batabal, her husband's daughter. Why? Temigala le abiha kol da'avda. Because also she, Batbala is megaleh to the father exactly everything that she is doing. They were like, they spy. Right? The daughter of them says, oh, your wife did this, your wife did that. So therefore, they are hated. So the rabbis come along and say, no, you don't have to list those two. Why? Which means you have a famous rule based on the Pasuk and Mishle. That like water is to the face of a person, which means when a person looks at water, you see a reflection. See, the person sees his reflection in the water. And therefore, so too the hearts of people are similar to each other. Which means when a person, let's say, smiles at the water smiles back. A person shows an angry face to the water, so the water shows an angry face back. So too, people that love each other, one person love you, so then therefore the love is reciprocal, it comes back. And if a person hates somebody, so that hate is brought back. So therefore, you don't have to list. Once already you listed hamota, that the mother-in-law hates the daughter-in-law, so automatically you could assume that the daughter-in-law hates the mother-in-law. So that's already included. And similarly, once already you're telling me that what? That bat the Baal, that the daughter of the Baal hates Eshet Av, so automatically Eshet Av is going to hate bat the Baal. So therefore it's reciprocal. It's automatic, you have to list them. Over the Bihuda. So why did the Bihuda have to list those two extra cases? Because that pasuk kamayim lepanim is not talking about people's emotions towards each other. It's talking about Devre Torah. What does it mean? It's coming from to say that if you work and toil in the study of Torah, so therefore the Torah will smile back at you, which means the Torah will now remain in your system and you'll be able to succeed and remember the Devre Torah. Let's read that in Nashi. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines after they get wide. B'devre Torah ketiv. Lifi panim velev sha'atarot la Torah. According to the attitude and the kavanah and the toil that you put in Torah, you'll remember your learning. You'll be able to understand your learning. If you toil a lot, you'll find it, which means you'll succeed. And if you don't, you will not. And therefore, which means according to the face that you show the Torah, which means you exert yourself in Torah, so it'll respond back by remaining in you. That she brings a different lashon, Mishnah Harina. Say, if the rabbi shows a nice face to the student when he's teaching, then the student will receive the Torah and become wise. But if not, if the rabbi does not show a kind face to the student, a happy face to the student, then the student will not be able to learn. So therefore, the Bihuda says, I don't go with the psychology where you tell me that the feelings are reciprocal. And therefore, he says you have to list them explicitly. So really, everybody agrees, this really comes out. They agree to the 7 cases that we that are listed in the Braita. Just the Bihuda listed the extra 2 cases, meaning of Kalla and also Eshet Av. And the Hakamim said, no, once already you listed the other side, so it's automatic. And then also we have the case of Bat Hamiha, which was the beginning of the Gemara, which is also included. So therefore it comes out this altogether. So for 8 ladies that are not believed. Comes the Gemara, continues. Amar Avacha Bar Avya. New question. Ba'ei b'ma'araba, they were asking in Eretz Yisrael, hamota haba'a le'ahar mikan, which means the mother-in-law that comes later on, is she believed or not? Mahu. Now, what's the mother-in-law that comes later on? Which means like this. Let's say this lady over here, a fellow's married, okay, good. her husband dies. Now she falls to Yibum. Okay? She falls to the husband's brother. Good. But let's say that brother, even though they're brothers, they're paternal brothers. However, but that brother has a different mother. And therefore, she is a potential mother-in-law. Which means, the mother of her husband's wife. She's the mother of the Yavam. Potentially, she might fall to Yibum, to the brother. The brother has a mother. That lady might one day be her mother-in-law. So the question is, that's a mother-in-law that's potential, that she can be a mother-in-law. Is she permissible to testify? So the Gemara says, Mal, mi maskadata demit ba'al, does she already think from now that the husband might die, v'nafakame yabam, and that she's going to fall in front of her son, v'sanyala, therefore she's going to hate her in the future? Oh no, maybe she doesn't project that far, right? So look at that sheep. Hamota ba'ala hamikan ma'im yebamai, which means, let's say she becomes a yebama, velo em ba'ala, which means it's not the they don't have the same mother. Veshema sofal liot hamota. Right, which means now maybe this lady is going to be the mother of the Yavam. It's going to be a mother-in-law. Is she believed to say that your husband died and therefore you fall to your boom? Or halzi or make halitza v'nesilach and she's permissible to marry to the shuk? Mi maska hach em yavam, this mother of the yavam, adata dilma mayit ba'al, that her husband, that the fellow might die, v'naflakame yavam ebera, she's going to fall to her son, the Yavam, v'ka'achla l'grisena, and now what, she's going to end up eating all her hard-earned money, like the same Sivarav mother-in-law, u'mitkavene l'kalkela me'afshev, but therefore she wants to spoil her from now, even before, she wants already spoil her from now, so that doesn't happen, k'desh lo t'tyabim, so she will not make yibum on libna, oh no. Now, v'afalgav d'tzara haba'a l'achar mikan, pashit lan k'dam lin m'matnitin, v'yibimta d'aynu mishum, צרות העתידות לבוא, התמוד לצרה דגופהו, ומסקה דעתה תפה, אבל שנאת חמותה לקלה, which means we learned above that that the sister-in-law, who's a potential tzara, she didn't happen yet, the sister-in-law is forbidden, that's the husband's brother's wife, she's a potential tzara. So we said that also she cannot testify. So what's the difference between a sarah, who is a potential sarah, or the potential mother-in-law? So that she says, two lines on the bottom, Afagav, that sarah ba'alachar mikan, pashitlan, we said, what kedam, rina, matnitim, we said in the Mishnah, the yibimta, that's the yibimta, right? That's the potential sister-in-law that can be a sarah, dahinu mishum tsarot ta'atidot labo, because she might become the co-wife. Because that's affecting her directly. And therefore, maskad data, she thinks about it even before it happened. Therefore, she's going to give a false testimony, maybe. We don't believe that. But the sinat that the mother-in-law has for the daughter-in-law, mahmat mamonu, it's a monetary issue. And therefore, maybe therefore she doesn't think about it, which means if it's affecting her directly, so certainly, like the case of the ibimta, she already has no ne'emanu, because already she's thinking that she might have to fall to this man, she's going to be a co-wife, that's affecting her, so she has no ne'emanut. But the hamotah, it's only a monetary concern, so the question is, a potential mother-in-law, does she have a ne'emanut or not? So that's the Gemara's question. So Gemara says, Tashema, we'll bring a proof. Amra mit ba'ali, right, let's say the lady comes and testifies like this. First she says, mit ba'ali, my husband dies, ve'har kach mit hami. And then she comes along and says, that what? Mit hami, that my father-in-law died as well. So it says, tinnaseh, of course she can get married based on the testimony of Mit Ba'ali. Vititol ketubata, and she can take her ketubah, however, v'hamotah asura. However, we don't believe in the Gabi, which she said, that her father-in-law died, and therefore her mother-in-law is going to be forbidden to marry. Okay? So Gemara says, "My tama hamota asura." What's the reason why her mother-in-law is forbidden? Which means, because according to her words, she came along and said, first her husband died, and then she said her father-in-law died. Now, once already her husband dies, then that lady is no longer her mother-in-law. So then, by the time that she testifies, met mit hami, already it's not considered a mother-in-law. So therefore the chavrash should be believed. Oh, so why is he, because again, since she prefaced and said met ba'ali first, already once the husband dies, she's not a mother-in-law anymore. So therefore, what's the reason why she's not believed? Because it must be because we suspect like this. Lo ba'ala mayit velo hami hamayit. Because maybe we suspect over here nobody died. Not her husband and not her father-in-law. Therefore, v'had the kamra hachi, and the reason why she testified that her father-in-law died, lekalkula lehamotahu lekamichavna, which means because she wants the mother-in-law to believe her, and therefore to get married to somebody else, that the father-in-law is going to resurface, and then she's going to become forbidden. So therefore, you see over here, yeah, and even though at the time that she's testifying, obviously she said that her husband died. That means obviously her husband was overseas. Now, what was the whole reason why we said that the daughter-in-law hates the mother-in-law? Why is she not believed? Because we said that the mother-in-law speaks to the son bad about the wife. Therefore, she hates the mother-in-law because she's always saying bad things. Now, in this case, it's not happening because she's saying met ba'ali, which means she's saying that my husband is overseas and he died, which means you're not in a position right now for her to speak animosity according to her testimony. Well, why shouldn't she be believed? There should be no animosity now. She's saying that her husband's not here, and therefore the mother-in-law cannot talk to him. And still what? Still, we don't believe her. We assume that she's lying, and there's still an animosity. Why? Which means, because she's thinking, what? Eventually, her husband's going to come back, and the father-in-law is going to come back, and the mother-in-law is going to go back to her old way and start being mitzayed her by talking to her husband and making trouble. And therefore, what do you see over here? You see that the ladies do project something of the future, which means even though right now it's not a problem technically, but the reason why she's going to lie, because she's saying, even though my husband's out of town now, but she knows, once he comes back, it's going to start all over again. So even though it doesn't apply right now, the reason, she projects for the future. So the same thing about the mother of the Yavam. Even though right now it's not a problem, but they project. And therefore there should be a sin'ah. Kibra says, and therefore she should not be believed. Kibra says, no, dilma shani hata, maybe it's different. Diragish la sa'ara. Because in this case over there, the daughter-in-law already felt the pain of the mother-in-law already. So even though she's not feeling the pain right now because her husband's away, but already once you feel the pain already, so it's much worse. Therefore she has a hatred, and therefore she's going to want to osir the mother-in-law and against the father-in-law, and therefore we're not going to believe her. However, this lady, the mother of the Yavam, she never felt pain and nothing ever happened anymore. So if it could be, it's not going to be a sin'ah, and therefore she can be believed. So really the Gemara does not answer that question. It leaves it in a question. Comes the next Mishnah. We have a case. Now we're going to discuss, let's say, we have a contradiction between witnesses. Ed Omer Met. Okay? You have one witness that comes along and says, that what? The husband died. Of course, Betty now will allow her to remarry based on that testimony. Then it's set. And of course, once she got remarried, Uba Ehad Ve'amar Lomet. And another witness comes along and says, Lomet, he didn't die. Hare Zu Lotetze. Which means she does not have to get leave the husband that she married. Which means we believe over here the first witness and not the second witness. The Gemara will explain why. Ed Omer Met. Let's say one witness says Met. Ushnaim Omrim Lo Met. But two witnesses now come along and say Lo Met. So therefore they're contradicting the first witness. Afal Pishin is said, even though she got married based on the first testimony, Tetze, she has to go out. Now we go to the opposite case. Shenaim Omrim Met. Let's say two witnesses say Met. Ve'ed Omer Lo Met. And one witness comes along and says Lo Met. Afal Pishin Lo Neset. Even though she didn't get married yet, Tenase, she can go get married based on the testimony of the two, and the one that said Lomet does not stand in the face of the two witnesses. Comes now the Gemara and analyzes. We said in the Mishnah, let's say one witness comes along and says Met, right? And we said that what? she got married, and then one witness comes along and says, "Lo met." So he said, "What? Lo titzit. She can remain married." So the Gemara is medayek. Tama dinisit. That's mashma only because already she got married already based on that one witness. Halo nisit. Lo tinisit. But if she didn't get married yet, and then the second witness came along and said, "Lo met," we're not going to let her get married. It's only because she got married already. But if she didn't get married, then we're not going to let her. That's what's mashma. So why should that be? Va'amarula kol makom she'emina Torah. Which means we have a rule. Anytime the Torah believes one witness, for example, in the case of a sota, edehad as an emanut, which means if let's say a lady was secluded with a man, right? So she has to go to the Beit HaMikdash now and she has to drink the waters. But let's say one witness came along and said that I know for a fact that she had relations with that man in seclusion. So therefore, that's right. Torah believes one witness to say she was nitme'ah, therefore she doesn't drink the waters of the sotah, which means he has a status, that one witness, like he is to witnesses. Which means, if one witness comes along and says nitme'ah, the Torah believes her. And therefore she does not drink. And therefore, hadekan shnayim, it's as if there is two witnesses. Ve'en devarav shel ehad bimkom shnayim. And therefore, in this case over here, once one witness is believed to say what mit ba'ala, so therefore, he's like two. So pashut, she shouldn't be allowed to marry lechatechila. And I don't care, one witness comes along after and says he's still alive. One witness has no bearings in a case where there's a ne'emanut like two witnesses. So therefore, even if she didn't get married, it should be permissible for her to marry now, even after the witness, the second witness comes. So why did the Mishnah only say v'nisit? That only if she got married already before the second witness came, she should be permissible to get married to Katayla, even after the second witness came, because the first witness has a din of two witnesses. So Gemara says, you're right. Hakika amar. Edehad omer mit. One witness comes along and says, the husband died. Therefore, they allowed her to get married. And one witness came along and said, she does not go out from the original heter, which means she remains with the original heter. She can get married to Ketahira. She means the original heter remains, and therefore she will be still able to get married even to Ketahira. Comes the next statement, Ed Omer Met. Right? We said one witness said met, and we said two witnesses came along and said lo met. So that case over here, the deen is that even if she got married, she has to go out, which means you believe the second witnesses. So the Gemara says peshita, which means what's the question? Of course, we're not going to believe the first witness in light now of two witnesses that come along and testify. The end of Barav Shelehad and Komshnaim, because you have actually two physical witnesses, so certainly we're not going to believe the first witness. Of course the Mishnah's deen is true, that she has to be a titzeh. So it was an olot tziricha, and the case of the Mishnah is, we're talking about over here that the two witnesses that come along, they're not kosher witnesses. We're talking about bifsule edut. It's two witnesses that are pisulim against one witness that is kesher. Ukhti Rabbi Nehemia, like the Epinev Rabbi Nehemia, that says what? Etanya Rabbi Nehemia Omer. Kol makom she'emina Torah edehad. Anytime the Torah believes in edehad, halach achar rov deot. Then you go according to the majority of opinions, which means, if let's say you have now two others that are coming to argue against the one, which means, even if they are pasul, you go after the numbers now, which means now it's two pasul against one, so therefore you're going to believe the two. Va'asu shten nashim, which means in this case, for example, the hachamim believed two ladies that normally the pasul le'edut bi'ishehad in order to contradict one kosher witness, just like a case of kishne anashim bi'ishehad, just like in the case where you have, let's say, two men and one man, which means just like two men can contradict the testimony of one, so too two ladies in the case where an edehad is ne'eman can contradict one kosher witness. And therefore, since we say that there's a ne'emanut of an edehad, so therefore it's not a regular edut, and therefore we go after Rav De'ot, even if that Rav De'ot is pesulim, they can come along and override the Ed Kasher, even though she got married to Nesser. So the case of the Mishnah is one witness who's kosher comes along and says met. Two ladies, for example, come along and say lo met. You're going to believe the two ladies? So it's two against one, and that's the Hadush of the Mishnah, that in the case where there's an Edehad that's Kasher, you go after Rav De'ot, and even if the Rav De'ot are pesulot, they have an Emanut. We give a different Hadush of the Mishnah. Mishnah, which is, let's say you have a good witness came ikara and testified, different interpretation, which means I'll say that once a kosher witness comes along and says, even if 100 ladies come after, we don't go after Rav De'ot, and they're not going to have the ability to be machish, to contradict. Ela also, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah that we're saying you have to Rav De'ot? Kegon de'atay isha mi'ikara. The case is talking about where not a kosher witness came originally. The ed ad originally is talking about you have a lady that came. Oh, so therefore, if two ladies come along and override, so it's two ladies against one lady. So therefore, you're going to believe it. But tamzal d'Rabbi Hamya hache. And now you have to redefine the Ibn Hamya's statement. Because why? Ibn Hamya omer, kol makom shimina Torah edehad, anytime the Torah believes edehad halach ahar rov de'ot, you go after the majority of opinions, that's in what case? Va'asu shte nashim bi'isha ahat. Which means we're going to go after the majority when everybody's pasul. Two ladies against one lady, that'll be like kishne anashim bi'ishahad, like two men against one man. About shte nashim bi'ishahad. But if you have, let's say, two ladies against one kosher witness, kefalga ufalga dami, that's already like one witness against one witness. And therefore, there's no ne'emanu. Therefore, if they're ready, they allowed her to get married based on that testimony. She does not, she's able to still maintain to get married. Like we said, so according to the second version, Rav De'ot is only believed when the witness is a pasul. But if the witness is a kasher, so therefore even 100 ladies is considered like one, to be one against one. So the Hadush of the Mishnah is talking about where the first witness was a lady, she was a pasula. So in that case, two ladies come along now to testify against, we're going to believe the two ladies against the one lady, just like we believe two men against one man. That's the case. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Shnaim Omri Mit. Right, two witnesses come along and say Mit, and one witness came along and said Lo Mit. So the deen is, even though she didn't get married, she can go get married to Katayla, which means you believe the two witnesses. So the Gemara says, wait, Maika Mashmalan, what do you mean? It's Pashut. You have two witnesses that come along and submit, and you only have one witness to contradict it. So what's the question? So the Gemara says, Bifsule Edut. The case is talking about where you have the two guys that came along, we're talking about they were Pasul, Uchter Bi Nehamya. Based on the Bi Nehamya's deen, the Azil Batar Rov De'ot. Right, that you go after Rov De'ot, which is in a case where, let's say, you believe, the Torah believed in Edehad, so therefore you go after the majority. So therefore, let's everybody's Pasul over. So you have two Pasul against one Pasul. So the Hadush is what? That you're going to believe the two, and therefore, no problem. So the Gemara says, Ainu Ach. Which you just learned this. We just said this in the Resha. That the Hadush is that what? And when the Torah gives an emanu to one witness, you go after Rav. Why does the Mishnah have to repeat this same Hadush again? It says, Ma'u de tema, ki azlina batar Rav de'ot lechumra. Because I would say that when you go after Rav de'ot lechumra, like in the first case, it was one witness against two witnesses, and the second two witnesses are coming to saying lomit, and therefore we're going to believe them that she cannot get married. So maybe I would believe Rav de'ot lechumra, aval lekula, but to matira, to get married, lo, I might not think. Kamashmalan, davat, even lekula, you go after Rav de'ot. So when it's the last case of Mishnah, when we say, shnaim omrim met, it means that shnaim, they are pasul. Right? And they're coming against a witness. So the deen is that what? We believe the Shnayim, we go after Rav De'ot, and the Hadush is even Lekulat allow her to get married. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen V'Amen.